Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. As usual, I've got Tony with me. We've got a special guest, Martin Kuhas of BTC Prague on the show, and excited to have you here, Martin. Let's jump right into the news here, and we're going to get to one of your tweets in just a moment. So the first one of which I have very strong opinions, but I'm going to let you guys take it before I go on a rant. Trump orders the creation of a U.S. sovereign wealth fund, says it could buy TikTok with this sovereign wealth fund. So, Martin, I'm going to let you kick it off first, because there are a lot of things going on in the Czech Republic right now that we're going to talk about. But what's your take as someone sort of external to the United States, thoughts on the sovereign wealth fund?
To me, it sounds like that it's just another excuse to print more money, right? So, where are they going to fund this fund from? This is the first question. And if it comes from the printed money, why do they need a fund? Because they need an excuse. So it seems and sounds a little stupid to me. Actually, we are not used to have such a fund in Europe at all. So why? And in the article, there is even mentioned that they are planning to fund highways and roads and things like that out of it. So the question is again, why do they need a fund for it, right? This should be already set. So I don't know. Seems like another populistic thing to me, to be honest, what I'm hearing from the politics at all, in general, every time.
So is this not this isn't something that's popular in Europe? This isn't something that every European nation has?
Not really. I haven't heard of, to be honest.
Yeah. I think I read somewhere that Norway has one, but they're a very resource-rich nation, and so they have a surplus, I think, from all their resource extraction. Tony,
there's a different thing there. Yeah. Norway is a little bit out of Europe, actually. Of course, it's geographically it's a part of the Europe, of course, but they have oil and gas, and they are really sovereign, because they have those resources, so they are not that dependent on the European Union. They aren't currency, so they are not so distracted with what happens with euro, etc. So for Norway, it makes perfect sense, but for other countries in the Europe, which are so close to each other and so dependent, doesn't make sense at all, I would say.
Yeah. Tony, what's your take?
I mean, I don't understand these things in too many details, but I think I agree with Martin that this is, just another excuse to steal funds or print money, which is also stealing funds from the general population and depleting your purchasing power. Where are they going to get the money to pay for all of this stuff? I mean, they're over $36 trillion in debt. Obviously, there is no money. So they have to get it from somewhere. So either they print it or they steal it via, some other venue in order to do this. I don't believe a government's role should be implicated in things like this. I mean, government's role should be no more than an administrative role. Just make sure the roads are fine. Make sure there's proper healthcare for the people. Make sure the country is safe. That's it. You have no business, expanding your tentacles into areas, that you have no business being in the first place, because clearly it's at the detriment of your own citizens. So I've got mixed feelings about this. I mean, I know some Bitcoiners are excited because maybe it involves, Bitcoin, and they're only thinking about the number go up. But I mean, guys, you have to sort of think outside the box a little bit here and not be so myopic about just one specific thing here, because less than 1% of Americans have Bitcoin. So if everybody's going to be happy because of that tiny percentage at the expense of everybody else, that's not a good movie to watch, because those scenarios don't generally end well at all. So I'd be very weary about my excitement over something like this, at least without knowing more facts.
Yeah, I started looking into it. I mean, I was familiar with the concept of sovereign wealth funds, but started looking into it last night. And my poor wife was trying to get out the door after we got the kids to bed. She's going to hang out with her girlfriends. And I'm railing on this, how stupid this idea is. And she's like, okay, why? And I said, well, first of all, the whole concept begins with you need to have a surplus. And so let's say we did have a surplus, which we don't. We have a, you know, $2 trillion deficit or whatever. Even if we had a surplus, that is stolen money in the form of taxes or money printing, more debt taken on. And so what they should do with it is they should turn around and say, hey, we don't need this money. We're going to give it back to you. Secondly, I have no interest in them investing, buying TikTok. Like, for that specific instance, sounds like a surveillance nightmare to me. Like, everyone on TikTok now, the government owns 50 to 100% of TikTok or whatever. Really bad idea. But even if they were prudent with their investments, which they haven't proven to be with things like Social Security and other welfare programs, it creates market distortions because the government can print with or can either print money and drive up the price of assets that they choose to invest in. One of the examples I should have shown the video is President Trump was signing this. And by the way, I've been pretty complimentary of many things he's done so far. But he had one of his guys say a few words on it, the Treasury Secretary, who seems like a sharp guy, but haven't looked into him. And then there was someone else. And this guy said, for example, you know, if we're going to buy 2 billion units of COVID vaccines, we should have a stake in those companies. I said, you shouldn't be buying 200 units of COVID vaccines. Let people decide if they want to purchase the COVID vaccine. And if they don't want to, then, but like, you having upside to that is nothing more than insider trading. And they're doing it right in the open. Like, this isn't like Nancy Pelosi and Elizabeth Warren getting rich and like we're wondering like what did they know and how did they know. It's like they know they're going to buy the Pfizer vaccine. They're going to invest in Pfizer and pump the price of that and make a ton of money, give the government way more power that we don't need them to have. And so I was just railing on this, and that's the sort of thing for those listening that my lovely wife has to put up with. But this is not something I'm excited about. So couldn't agree with either of you more. I just probably, as an American and who is way less enamored by number go up, the number's going to go up. I don't need the government to pump my bags.
What you just said just highlights that there is no real judicial system in the United States. It's like a set of rules for a certain bunch of people and another completely different set of rules for everybody else. Otherwise, why would they like nonchalantly just do it publicly, not caring what happens or how it plays out if they don't know that there are no ramifications for them, right? That fundamentally is what has to change. If you know if you happen to belong to that VIP club and essentially you can do whatever you want because you know nothing's going to touch you afterwards, then you have no judicial system. You have like it's a joke what you have. And nobody should be putting up with this. If a law is not neutral across the board, it is not a law. It's complete rubbish.
There are probably ways they could do it better than others. I still think that it's funded with stolen money. But like, for example, anyone who lobbies, like the pharmaceutical industry, that removes them as a potential investment opportunity, right? Like small businesses only, startups, people trying to do innovative things. Like that would be better. It would still be, you know, wrong and create market distortions and be funded with stolen, you know, currency. But but the fact that the example he cites is funding big pharma companies for COVID jabs that they shouldn't have been purchasing, that the free market should have decided if they wanted. It's insanity. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Okay, Martin, let's move on here because you had a tweet just a few days ago. So we talked in our last Bitcoin banter about the Czech Central Bank considering Bitcoin. I'd love your take on that, but you said it seems that our governor of the National Bank really did his homework since the logo was projected on the National Bank building back in 2013. I'm going to be in Prague for the first time this summer for BTC Prague, and my sense from a distance is that the Czech Republic is like the based, thoughtful, smart, resourceful country in Europe. I'd be curious to hear your perspective as someone who's watching this play out in your country in real time. Like, what's your take on this in general? And do you have, because it seems like they are maybe more educated on Bitcoin, do you have more hope that this could be a good thing for you?
Yeah, man, I can't be more bullish on Czech Republic and not only on Bitcoin. And maybe, Tony, I think that you weren't really right on the last episode. You know, like Czech koruna, okay, it sucks as any other currency. But compared to euro, at least we have our own national bank who sets some rules on our national level, which at least for me, seems to be much more reasonable than trying to set same rules to the whole Europe, which basically doesn't make any sense at all.
That's so fair.
Yeah. And like, I'm sorry for your breakfast, but next time, please, I'm gonna show you much more reasonable places. But like paying New York price for eggs in Prague seems like really crazy. You were probably terribly scammed there. So I'm sorry, Tony. But no, just to get us all on the same page, like Czech Republic is a really great place because, you know, nobody really cares about Czech Republic. It sits in the middle of the Europe. It's a really great place to live because it's one of the last free country. As long as you behave and don't bother, you are really free to do whatever you like here in Czech Republic. And it's mostly because of our history. We were occupied by Russian army for 40 years. And when that was finally over back in 1989, Czechs really understood and valued the freedom. And that's probably the reason, or one of the strongest reasons, why Bitcoin is doing so great here in Czech Republic. Like it's a really like cultural history, it's heritage site for Bitcoin here in Prague or in Czech Republic in general, as like first hardware wallet, first mining pool, first Bitcoin ATM, whole seed phrase thing, basically all those origin from Czech Republic, first Bitcoin conference back in 2011. So it's just a natural escalation of things. And back to the tweet, this is actually a funny story where it happened during BTC Prague 23, and I was having a steak with Peter Thor, Daniel Prince, Robert Breedlove, Adam Beg, and a few others in the old town in city center, while I received a message on the Telegram that the show gonna happen on a national bank, like in 15 minutes. So I told everyone, hey, okay, we can stay here. We can have another wonderful steak, another bottle of wonderful wine. It was really enjoyable. Or we can go and see something like really special happening in the city center, but that would mean that we basically need to leave now. So I didn't allow even Adam Beck to finish his coffee after a wonderful dinner. We just paid and quit. We ran through the city center to see this happening on the national building. And I was a bit afraid if like police will come or do anything, and nobody cared. There were like 300 people shouting like Bitcoin, Bitcoin. In old town in Prague on the National Bank. Then we packed all the stuff and moved to the Charles Bridge to repeat on like 600 years cultural history part of the Europe. Again, study Bitcoin. And already back then, that's what I liked on the projection the most, is that it doesn't like propose to people buy Bitcoin, but it proposed them to study Bitcoin, which now like after 2 years, it really aged well, I would say, right? It seems like that our governor really like understands that this can help our country. And of course, we talked about this before the show that it can actually turn out terribly wrong like this, you know, it's with politics. We're going to talk about it after this, that ECB is already not happy about our national bank thinking about having Bitcoin as a reserve currency. But from and it's still very fresh. Yeah, but from what I know, is that there is a small committee to be like delegated now on a national bank level, which only work for another half a year, is to really explore the options and the consequences of having Bitcoin on our national balance sheet. So it's really happening, you know, and I believe that our governor, he's a smart guy. He's not really popular because he's a governor of our national bank. But he understands that it's a game theory. So the first country that basically gonna do this gonna benefit of it a lot because they can set some basic set of rules which another country is gonna adapt there. And it's we need to understand that it's completely different than, for example, in Salvador, right? Salvador is run by Nayib Bukele, and what Nayib Bukele says, that basically happened. But here we still need to follow some regulatory framework. So it's not that easy. But if it happens, and Czech Republic gonna do a next step while marking Bitcoin history in Europe, it would be unprecedented. Because like having Czech Republic as a first, like this level of country having Bitcoin on balance sheet, even sooner than US, which is still not sure if it shall be Bitcoin or XRP, that would be really wonderful, and I would be again proud of our country And it's, you know, it's not only about the hockey and our wonderful beer, but like the way how Bitcoin goes and does here in Czech Republic makes me really proud. And it's probably one of the reasons why BTC Prague is so successful, because we are really true hard Bitcoiners and we do not need to apologize or to give any excuses that we don't take care of Bitcoins or whatever. So this is my take on it.
Yeah, no, it's a good take. In fairness, from what I know, I would probably much rather have the Czech Republic adopt Bitcoin as a strategic reserve asset than anyone in the West. I mean, you do seem to have I think your cultural history and appreciation for freedom that many, like in the United States, Western Europe, take for granted is really fundamental to that. I think my concern in general with these strategic reserves does empower the state. My hope, the caveat to that is my hope would be that Bitcoin's a finite cap, even if we have to deal with powerful nation states for some period of time because they adopt Bitcoin and it makes them fabulously wealthy, is at the end of the day, once they start using that, spending it, you know, whatever, putting it to work, they can't do it forever, right? So even if we have 30 more years of a lot of the, you know, tyranny that we see, you eventually run out of Bitcoin and you can't print more of it, right? Tony, why don't you give your thoughts and ask Martin for a breakfast recommendation while you're at it?
Martin, your comment is on point, man. You are absolutely right. I still have that PTSD from that 50 euro egg breakfast. So that's where that point comes from. No, but as far as Prague is concerned, it is absolutely at the top of my list of favorite cities in the world. I think the cultural history and the mindset of that city is extremely powerful, extremely unique, and it like aligns so well with everything that Bitcoiners, you know, genuinely come after and believe in. Whether it's the you know, the pursuit for freedom, the not standing for bullshit, you know, the just keep going the way it's supposed to be done, not being fazed by anybody's words or actions, not being afraid of anyone except, you know, what you believe in. I mean, this is you sense that very strongly in Prague, which is why I love going there, you know, whenever I get the chance. I'm bullish on the Czech Republic. I hope they stand their ground. Just to break the mold of the, you know, the broken money and the corruption and all that that's been going on for such a long time. I just want to see them, you know, put their foot down, ignore all the nonsense, do it anyhow, succeed, and that will like cascade a domino effect, hopefully across all of Europe, and put an end once and for all to those bunch of useless parasites that have completely destroyed so many countries and people's purchasing powers all over the place. That is my wish, and I hope to be able to see this, you know, in my lifetime, and I'm very bullish and optimistic that we will.
Well said. Well, speaking of standing their ground, the Financial Times warned central banks not to chase speculative returns as the Czech central bank considers Bitcoin. TFTC says the fear is setting in. So, Martin, I'm going to pass this one back to you, because I want what I don't think Tony and I probably have much of a perspective on is like how much support they'd have for adopting Bitcoin. Is this an easy thing to do? Does the ECB pressure to not do that? Like, you've probably heard Christine Lagarde's comment that we talked about on our last banter. Is that like a showstopper? They're not going to do it because the ECB is pressuring them not to, or what do you know?
That's a good question, and the answer, I hope it to be easier, but like in general, that article is just another example of how uneducated they are, because our governor, he understands, and I believe that if it only would be his call, we already gonna have Bitcoin on our balance sheet, but he has a committee and he needs a vote, so that's what he is working on, and he's a patient one. So we understand that if he does it in the right way, it's simply going to happen, because it's not about speculative incomes. That's about saving the country, actually. And he's not thinking about like becoming rich quickly. You know, he understands that we need Bitcoin not to get poor in long term period. So Like if anybody says that do not speculate on Bitcoin, it's not a speculation. It's basically like solving the problem that money is not the way of storing, it doesn't serve the store value anymore. It's not about a transaction. It's just how can we store the value in time and how can we just get rid of this rat race, which is not possible to win. It's like a death spiral. So, and yeah, and I saw the comments, of course, even our prime minister says, and which is actually super absurd because he said that Czech National Bank should not be, should not speculate with monetary instruments and that our national bank should have asked him first, which is kind of absurd because 2 weeks ago he officially announced that national bank is separate institution which is not tightened by prime minister in any way. So well, what's true there, we all know, right? So it's gonna take time, maybe to close it on the positive note. It's gonna take time. It will happen sooner or later. I'm not sure if it's Czech Republic, US, or any other country, but I'm optimistic, and I believe that I'm a fan of politics. It can actually cause a harm to Bitcoin too, I would say, but like in general, if this saves the country, like come on, like there's no probably. I don't see any other way. Otherwise, like inflation and all that stuff basically kills all of our savings.
Yeah, it was, Martin, it was like I told you offline, for all of my reservations about central banks or governments adopting Bitcoin, the one thing I will say is we have elected these officials or they've been appointed to act as public servants. The right thing for them to do is to adopt Bitcoin. Like morally, ethically, to do their job, they should be adopting Bitcoin. My personal desire for them to not adopt Bitcoin has a lot more to do with their power. But if they do adopt Bitcoin, they're doing their job. So I will say that. Tony, is there any follow-up comment you wanted to provide to that?
No, I'm smiling at the comment that you made when you're expecting a politician to do his job.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like a contradiction in and of itself, right?
It's looking like it could, in the Czech Republic, it's looking like it actually could happen.
Yes. I mean, every once in a while, there comes about like a hero, so to speak, someone with an actual, you know, moral conscience that wants to do the right thing. The problem with all these other parasites is that they've been leeching for so many decades, and you know the corruption is so deep and entrenched, it's just become normalized in their everyday life. So while they may not understand Bitcoin the way like we do, they do understand that it's a threat that's going to completely obliterate them and put them out of business once and for all. And that's the part that they don't like, right? So they do whatever they have to do in order either to FUD it out, to keep people away from it out of fear, whatever other, you know, meaningless ways that an attempt that they deploy. But at the end of the day, people are getting poorer. Your purchasing power is being depleted in real time. So at some point, something's going to give. So either you adopt something that's going to put an end to financial misery, or you know it's going to happen anyhow, perhaps via a means that you don't want. I'm hoping it happens peacefully, but you know nobody has a crystal ball, so I keep my optimism, you know, on the peaceful side of things. But I'm expecting anything.
I think that's a good position to take. Alrighty. On to a fun and interesting one. So Plate Hoddle asked, is this the decoupling? So BTC USD and BTC for the Canadian dollar, the exchange, it's gone. So Bitcoin has appreciated at the same time that the NASDAQ and several indexes are on the downturn. Now, the gain and the drawbacks are not massive, but I think this is an interesting concept and a question that a lot of people are asking right now. Is this the cycle where we begin to see Bitcoin, because ETFs, because of adoption by institutions, you know, central banks talking about custodying, is this a cycle where we see it break out from other assets and move in very different ways in, you know, dollar or fiat denominated you know, measures? Tony, I'll let you take this one first. Martin's had the first shot at a couple of these.
Yeah, I think so, man. I think that decoupling continues to happen as people realize that this is not actually a speculative asset, that fiat currencies are the riskiest things to hold because those are mathematically guaranteed to go to zero. And so if you don't want to see your wealth and purchasing power, you know, completely massacred, you know, in real time, you're going to have to opt out into something that puts an end to it. And for the first time ever, you know, we have Bitcoin that was created. And thankfully, it succeeded. I'm sure there's been like many iterations of, you know, attempts to create this digital form of money that's outside of the power of anyone. But, you know, Bitcoin seems to be the first one that actually worked. You know, fast forward 16 years of proof of work. And now it seems to be, you know, gaining full steam ahead, you know, with institutional adoption. We've got like banks talking about it, politicians, you know, banking their votes on it and what have you. And so before you know it, the general population is going to clue in on this as well. I don't think they are able to take advantage of, you know, that window of opportunity anymore as much to generational wealth, because now you've got big players in the game, and already at its current fiat price of 100,000, most people, like unless you're sitting on a lot of money, you're not buying anything. I mean, it's not to say you're not going to benefit from Bitcoin, but you will benefit in a much slower way by earning it rather than having, you know, jumped in the past 16 years and just upgraded your money from that worthless paper into something, you know, with actual value. So yeah, as more people start, you know, realizing this, that decoupling is going to get stronger and stronger and faster, and that's it. You know, that's at some point the dam breaks open and we have what we have.
So Martin, I want to hear you respond to Tony's comments. Do you agree, disagree? And then maybe share more broadly, what is your take on, like, could this be like a super cycle type where we, you know, we don't see the 80% drawdown ever again. It just keeps going up. We see nation state adoption. Like, what do you anticipate for the next, you know, 3-4 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, first of all, I agree with Tony. Second thought is that we all know nothing, actually. So only time will tell, actually, if we were right or if our assumptions were like completely wrong. Hopefully not. I'm pretty like surprised of how market goes, you know, like we are like somehow just only going right in between 90 and 110K, which I don't know. So is like that cycle already out? So we're not going to see those 4 years long cycle anymore? Or does it mean that the real all time high and bull run still didn't come, which is my assumption? And we will see. And if like the decoupling is the valid one or not, I believe that it's valid because, you know, we all know that those financial instruments are simply broken. And exactly as Tony said, more people realize this thing is that it will only go down and Bitcoin will only go up. But we still need to be patient because, you know, it's still very young. It's like Bitcoin is a teenager, right? It's like internet in 90s. Yeah, I remember I was there like, thing or the dot-com bubble, and this something like this will probably happen even in Bitcoin. So there are gonna be some struggles, some obstacles, but it will only gonna get Bitcoin stronger in the long-term perspective. So I'm bullish again, and maybe that's all I need, actually. And I'm the patient one. Yeah,
it, to me, it does seem promising. This is really my first cycle. I've only been in Bitcoin for a few years, and you know, like it was during the FTX crash, all the Celsius, all that stuff that I really went from like kind of trying to figure things out to like, I'm a Bitcoiner. It seems healthy based on everything I hear from people who've been around longer that we keep kind of chopping sideways. And when we crash, we're crashing to 90K and then we're back up over 100 really quickly. I think we had a 10K green candle in the last day or two. And so it seems like maybe some of the fundamentals are better understood, and we're just gonna, you know, I think it would be much better for Bitcoin and for my paycheck that's denominated in Bitcoin if we just kind of kept gradually moving up instead of me waking up one day and we hit 500K or something like that. So, I have a tendency to assume that I'm cautious because it would be very exciting to see, you know, $1 million Bitcoin in the next 12 months. But not to be so hopeful for that, and just to be comfortable and patient with maybe we're just going to kind of chop our way up and we'll get there when we do. I think that would be much better for the downward volatility because the people who would be accumulating during that time obviously have some conviction and some understanding as to what they're buying. Like the speculation I think under those circumstances would be drastically reduced. So I think you're probably onto something, Martin. All righty,
I will only add that like with ETFs and institutions coming into the game and even nations, if going to come into game, it's going to change to Bitcoin a lot because those savings are not short term, they are long term. So they will lower a volatility a lot and make Bitcoin really stronger. So just to add this, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. If the central bank of the Czech Republic were to adopt Bitcoin, they're not trading and selling. Like, they're gonna hold it and sit on it the way we do gold, you know.
Exactly.
So I think that makes a lot of sense. Alrighty, last one. This was a new story to me, so I haven't gotten to dig deep into this. This is actually from like a week ago. But the NASDAQ proposes in-kind redemption to improve BTC or Bitcoin ETF efficiency. The in-kind creation of redemption would enable institutional investors and authorized participants to trade directly shares of the Bitcoin Trust for Bitcoin rather than in cash. And so this is something I think we saw, I think it was the Hong Kong Stock Exchange when they introduced ETFs, it was an in-kind redemption. To me, that feels Martin rag on the ETFs a lot as, you know, not real Bitcoin, and it still isn't. But if you had that optionality, it seems promising. Be curious what you think the implications of something like this would be.
ETFs. Okay, it's not Bitcoin, but if this serves the purpose of like pushing people to understand Bitcoin and maybe becoming Bitcoiners sooner or later, I'm okay, right? We are not in early majority phase anymore, or early adoption phase. We are in early majority, like really getting to the crossing the chasm point sooner or later, which means that different people with different intentions and motivations will come to the Bitcoin. So we're going to need like different tools which will help them to solve their use cases or life situations and intentions. And if it's ETF, which helps them to become a Bitcoiner, why not? Like, of course, they should understand the risk and the downside of like having paper Bitcoin instead of true Bitcoin in a self-custody. But this will become more and more normalized when the Bitcoin adoption gonna grow. So I'm okay. Of course, I'm a cypherpunk. I prefer self-sovereign way of holding Bitcoins. But I cannot imagine, for example, my grandmother or grandparents just doing it this way. On the other hand, if I will realize that they were buying Bitcoin as an ETF and helping to solve their problems while getting to the retirement, like, isn't it great? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something we at the Bitcoin Way, or at least on these banter episodes, probably underappreciate at times is, and you've also got like pensions, you've got a lot of institutional investors who are, you know, at times operating on behalf of someone, retirement accounts for individuals, where they, you know, they are less flexible in what they can do. And to have some of the exposure to Bitcoin can be useful. I obviously completely agree. I think it's bullish for Bitcoin price. The traditionally ETFs have done less for self-sovereignty, which we just believe Bitcoin is freedom money. I think, you know, if you're looking at your portfolio and, you know, 80% of your returns came from this Bitcoin ETF that you have, you're going to be curious, you know, like,
that's the point.
Yeah. Why did this happen? And hopefully that leads people down the path that you describe to greater real Bitcoin adoption. Tony, why don't you take a stab at this one?
This is big news, man. This is a lot bigger than most people realize. We spoke about this last year when Hong Kong announced its ETFs, but the main distinction with them was the in-kind redemption. What that means is that, you know, if you wanted to withdraw from the ETF, you didn't have to withdraw it in local fiat like you did in the US. And I mentioned specifically that at some point, the US is going to be forced to do this because enough people are going to realize that that is the smartest way to take advantage of that ETF. What the ETF did was brought a lot of attention from folks with a lot of money that wouldn't necessarily have focused on Bitcoin if it wasn't for the ETF. So it's sort of like their gateway to get their feet wet into it. But like you said, at least some of them are going to be very curious as to how they're making all this money, like out there, they're generating all this profit. And once they realize that they can actually withdraw it in the asset itself, that's a massive game changer, man, considering the finite supply. But more importantly, this puts pressure on the on Coinbase, where the ETFs are being held, right? So if Coinbase was actively participating in funny money with Bitcoin, the proof of reserves now, they're forced to do it. So they have to prove that they have all the Bitcoin that the ETFs are buying. Otherwise, you have another FTX, you know, about to take place here. This is why they said they needed 12 hours. But in my head, that's a red flag. Like, why would you need 12 hours to give someone their Bitcoin if you supposedly have it? You need what? 10 seconds, 12 seconds, 10 minutes at best. So 12 hours, it's better than nothing. But, you know, it should, you know, raise a few question marks for those that are paying attention, because a lot of people have been saying in the past that we don't believe that Coinbase may necessarily have all the Bitcoin that it claims it does. And if that's the case, that is a massive problem about to go boom, you know, should that, you know, be proven. So yeah, time will tell, man. Fun times.
Could you imagine a bank run on Coinbase in this sort of scenario? Yeah.
Well, why else would they ask for a 12-hour period? It's to me, it's to go out and buy the Bitcoin that's being asked for, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So within 12 hours, of course, you're going to find it somewhere. But at some point, you know, with the finite supply, you might not be able to find it. And then if somebody's still asking for it, then what do? When you don't have
it. Still 12 hours compared to, did anybody audit Fort Knox if all that gold is there? I believe that it would require US much more than 12 hours to get it filled again, right?
Crazy, man. It's absolutely nuts what's happening.
Yeah, 12 hours is a lot faster than the government could do with gold, that's for sure. But I agree with you, Tony. On a global digital decentralized network, they could do better than 12 hours. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
Alrighty, guys. Hey, Martin, why don't you give a handoff so people know where to find you? I'm going to have you, I think we've got time slotted for next week. You're going to come on the Bitcoin Way podcast and we're going to chat. But tell people about BTC Prague, where they can find you, learn more.
Yeah, mostly all we do is on Twitter first, or X. I still can't get used to it. So I'm on X and it's BTC Prague profile or handle. So it's quite easy. And maybe my surname is not the easiest, so maybe if you can link it down in the comments, I would appreciate, Michael. And the Twitter is the best way of reaching out to us.
Terrific. I'm looking forward to our conversation. Thank you so much for making time. For everyone listening, appreciate you tuning in. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast if you want to schedule a free 30-minute consult with a member of our team. We help with proper 100% self-custody, no compromises. We help with online privacy phones, Plan B residencies. Again, that's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We would love to chat with you. Martin, thank you for joining. Tony, great chatting as always. Look forward to catching up with you both soon.
Thanks, guys. Great having you, Martin.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Michael. Have a great day, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.